The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now. Yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder, but others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So our theme this Lent is sacrifice, and so far we have talked about sacrificing our comfort and our treasure, our bodies, and our pleasure. And we've talked about how we resist those sacrifices because we're afraid we're going to lose something. And yet, hopefully, what we have learned is that we actually end up gaining something far better. So on our final week of this series, I'm going to talk today about sacrificing our self-preservation, which is the normal instinct whenever we come up against a threat. Death, or danger, or pain. And yet, self-preservation is fueled by fear. It was 4 years ago this week that everything shut down for the pandemic. And now that we have a little bit of distance, we've been reflecting on it, and perhaps you've thought to yourself, I know that I have, that we were at that point so afraid of dying that we oftentimes stop living. Those what-if questions, they can paralyze us in fear. What if I get sick? What if I die? What if it hurts? What if they are so angry with me, or they're so disgusted with me that they'll reject me? What if I don't have enough money? What if I fail? What if the whole thing just blows up in my face? And so the instinct is self-preservation, just like a turtle, right? We're just going to pull back into our shell because we think that's going to keep us safe. And that's actually how we lose. In our reading today, Jesus gives us one of the greatest spiritual paradoxes. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Now, by hate your life, Jesus does not mean like hating yourself, self-loathing, self-hatred. What he's doing is he's making a comparison that we think so little of our lives in comparison to how much we love God that we're willing to sacrifice and give up our lives. And that's actually how we save them. I mean, imagine if Jesus had acted in self-preservation mode. First of all, he would have never even come to earth, right? But in our reading today, listen to what he says. he's in Holy Week, and he's just hours from his death, the pain and the suffering. And he says, I'm troubled now. I mean, he is really beginning to feel this. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? Well, if he's in self-preservation mode, yeah, get me out of here. But Jesus says, no, 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 it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And how is his Father glorified? Jesus said, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. How does he draw us to himself? How does he reel us in? It's when his love is on full display as he is hoisted up on that tree. It's a sacrifice. Self-preservation will keep you from sacrificing, which means self-preservation will keep you from love. Jesus uses another analogy. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and it dies, it remains just a grain of wheat, but when it dies, it produces much fruit. Think of that little tiny grain of wheat, right? That little seed, and it's got that hard, protective shell. We know that seeds can be preserved for a very long time, years, some of them even hundreds of years. But that's not the purpose of a seed. A seed is created to die, to be buried in the earth and break open, give way to life. This summer, my boys and I, we're going to do a dude's trip, and we're going to go out west to hit some national parks, and one of the places we hope to go is Sequoia National Park. We want to see the tallest trees in the world. And yet every one of those trees started from a single seed. But if that seed had stayed in its hard, protected shell, well, I guess there would be nothing for us to go and see. And if Jesus hadn't died and been buried in the earth, well, then there would be no resurrection. There'd be no life. Raise your hand if you've ever been hurt before. Keep them up if you've ever been really hurt. I mean, deeply wounded by someone. We all have. You can put your hands down. And what's the instinct? Self-preservation. I'm going to harden my heart to protect it. I'm going to run away and I'm going to distance my heart from this. I'm going to numb my heart so that I don't feel the pain. If any of you have ever read or listened to Professor Brené Brown, though, she points out that you can't do that to just part of your heart. That if you try to harden it from, or if you try to run away from, or you try to numb it from the pain, then you will also harden it from, or run away from, or numb it from the joy of life. And in her research, what she has found is that the people she finds to be the happiest, the most well-adjusted people, she calls them wholehearted people, they had a common theme, a common thread among all of them. Vulnerability. They were willing to be vulnerable. The word vulnerability comes from a Latin word, vulnus, which means wound. Vulnerability literally means the ability to be wounded, which means it's not going to be safe. But it's necessary. There's going to be great risks. There's no guarantees, except this one. Here is one guarantee, that if what you try to do is harden and protect that heart of yours so that it doesn't get hurt, you're also going to keep out the thing that you desire the most in life, love, to be loved and to give love. You can try to keep the hurt out if you want, but you will also keep out that love. And what is life without love? nothing. So then you lose your life. You see what Jesus is getting at? The remedy is vulnerability. To let yourself be seen, deeply seen for who you really are, and to let yourself be loved right there, and to love from there. And it won't be perfect among humans. There'll be beautiful moments, no doubt, but they will hurt you, and you will hurt them. But Jesus loves us so perfectly and so completely that we then can love and be loved with our whole heart. We can become those wholehearted people. And that's when we really begin to live. Vulnerability is the birthplace of love. That's where it cracks open and begins to sprout to life. How many of you have seen The Wizard of Oz? I mean, probably everybody. And if you haven't seen it, you probably kind of know the storyline, right? Dorothy and her friends are off to see the wizard because they're all hoping to he will give them something. So let's test your Wizard of Oz trivia. Dorothy wants to go home. You can say a little louder. Dorothy wants to go home. The Scarecrow wants, and the Tin Man wants. How many of you have ever read the book, Wizard of Oz? A few of you have. There's a whole backstory to the Tin Man in the book that explains to us why he wants to go get a heart from Oz. When Scarecrow and Dorothy find him, remember he's rusted and he's been stuck in place for a year, so they oil him and he loosens him up, and then he begins to tell them why he wants to go to Oz to get a heart. It's story time with Pastor Milky. Get comfortable. Relax. The Tin Man says, "I was born the son of a woodman who chopped down trees in the forest and sold the wood for a living. When I grew up, I too became a woodchopper. There was one of the Munchkin girls who was so beautiful that I soon grew to love her with all my heart. She, on her part, promised to marry me as soon as I could earn enough money to build a better house for her. So I set to work harder than ever, but the girl lived with an old woman who did not want her to marry anyone, for she was lazy. She wished the girl to remain with her and do the cooking and the housework. So the old woman went to the Wicked Witch of the East and promised her 2 sheep and a cow if she would prevent the marriage. Thereupon, the Wicked Witch enchanted my axe, and when I was chopping away at my best one day, for I was anxious to get the new house and my wife as soon as possible, the axe slipped all at once and cut off my left leg. This at first seemed a great misfortune, for I knew a one-legged man could not do very well as a woodchopper. So I went to a tinsmith and had him make me a new leg out of tin. The leg worked very well once I was used to it. But my action angered the Wicked Witch of the East, for she had promised the old woman I should not marry the pretty Munchkin girl. When I began chopping again, my axe slipped and cut off my right leg. Again, I went to the tinner, and again he made me a leg out of tin. After this, the enchanted axe cut off my arms, one after the other, but nothing daunted, I had them replaced with tin ones. The Wicked Witch then made the axe slip and cut off my head. And at first I thought that was the end of me. But the tinner happened to come along and he made me a new head out of tin. I thought I had beaten the Wicked Witch then, and I worked harder than ever, but I little knew how cruel my enemy could be. She thought of a new way to kill my love for the beautiful Munchkin maiden and made my axe slip again so that it cut right through my body, splitting me into 2 halves. Once more, the tinner came to my help and made me a body of tin, fastening my tin arms and legs and head to it by means of joint so that I could move around as well as ever. But alas, I had now no heart, so that I lost all my love for the Munchkin girl and did not care whether I married her or not. I suppose she is still living with the old woman, waiting for me to come after her. My body shone so brightly in the sun that I felt very proud of it, and it did not matter now if my axe slipped, for it could not cut me. There was only one danger, that my joints would rust, but I kept my oil can in my cottage, and I took care to oil myself whenever I needed it. Self-preservation. However, there came a day when I forgot to do this, and being caught in a rainstorm before I thought of the danger, my joints had rusted and I was left to stand in the woods until you came to help me. It was a terrible thing to undergo, but during the year I stood there, I had time to think that the greatest loss I had known was the loss of my heart. While I was in love, I was the happiest man on earth, but no one can love who has not a heart. And so I'm resolved to ask Oz to give me one. If he does, I will go back to the Munchkin Maiden and marry her. All the same, said the Scarecrow, I shall ask for brains instead of a heart. For a fool would not know what to do with a heart if he had one. I shall take the heart, returned the Tin Woodman. For brains do not make one happy. And happiness is the best thing in the world. My friend, sacrifice your self-preservation. Open up your heart, and you will find happiness, which is the greatest thing in the world, because you will find love, and that will save you. I'm going to give you a moment to pray. Whatever's holding your heart back from love, if it's the fears, the what-ifs that you're playing in your head and in your heart, if it's the hardness of your heart that needs to finally crack open, bring that heart now to the Lord. As Jacob sang a few moments ago with us, create in me a clean, a new heart, O God.